Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Steeler Hangover. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. This is Tony Julius Defeo. Are you an Anthony or are you just a Tony? You are an Anthony.
I like Anthony better, but everybody calls me Tony, I guess, for short. But my family calls me TJ, so I guess I'm three different things.
TJ?
Split personality.
My gosh, I have so many nicknames, too. I used to be BD. I was Bri. I was Bad. I had a nickname in high school that I'm not going to tell you guys because you'll never let me forget it. I used to be B Fox because my name on the radio when out of college and when I was doing professional radio in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, I was Brian Fox, one of the cheesiest names of all time. So I've had so many nicknames for years. Everybody in college would just call me Fox or B Fox. And I'd be walking around like, yeah, that's right. That's right. And now I just realized how cheesy I actually was. But with that, you could just call me Bad or Brian Anthony Davis. No one actually calls me Brian. Oh, I do get called Brian Anthony. That's when I'm in trouble with my wife or my mom. So I still get that every once in a while. Jerry Cherry is saying Brian Fox is cheesy.
it's so morning radio, right? I mean, that's perfect.
Well, wait a second. Jerry's one of my all-time favorites. He does all of our music. He just has a new single out, I believe. So check that out. But he does all of our music for our AM shows. But is Jerry Cherry your given name? I bet you it's not.
If it is, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really awesome. If that's your real name, that is, your parents are cool. Because that's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
That name is not cheesy, Jerry. That is really cool. But definitely check out his music. It is fantastic. I check it out on YouTube all the time. So definitely really good. He's been around us a long time. So let's get into it. And John Knox is asking who's Hayward and two, it's backups. So that's the first one we're going to get to. We're going to talk about the defensive line. And as we did last week, if you notice that the title was very similar to last week's title. Yeah, we're doing the defense this time around. I try to move it around a little bit. So on the defensive line, we know we've got Alualu. We've got Cam Hayward. We've got Stephon Tuitt. But with the depth on that line, you've got Worley. You've got Bugs. You have my son, Carlos Davis. Is this a fixer-upper? And we're talking for 2021. Or is this market ready?
I think it's market ready with those starters. When they got Alualu back, that made everything so much better. I mean, he was such a valuable piece for them last year for that defense. Such a surprising valuable piece after Hargrove left. Hargrave. Anyway, I think it's market ready. You drafted Bugs and Davis in the seventh round each of the last 2 years. You signed Wormley. You know, that's your depth. I'm not saying those three guys are going to be future superstars, but you know, I think you're okay there as far as 2021.
You know what? I think it's ready, but here's what makes me worry. It's ready for 2021. Is it ready for 2022?
Maybe not. If you can't hold on to a Alualu, something like that. If he retires or they have to move on from him or something, maybe not. But with all the other areas they have to address, I think you can't make that a high priority for this draft, in my opinion.
I would love to see a guy like Jalen Twyman from Pitt being around in the sixth round. I don't think he would be. I really don't. But I would like to see them. They do this a lot. They look at guys in the sixth and seventh round at defensive tackle. So that's something that I would hope that they would do. Eric Pereira says defensive tackle looks slim this year in the draft. Whatever happened to Big Dan McCullers? I think he hooked on with another team, and then I don't think he stuck around. That's something we actually need to check. But I think you're absolutely correct. You know, the question is if they're market ready for 2021, and they are. They are. The problem is one of those guys goes down. How much trouble are you in?
Right.
Look, Wormley's very valuable to this team. Wormley's another guy. We just talked about it. We talked about it with Avery Williamson. Wormley, he had a camp, but still, he was hurt a lot last year. I think he's a lot better than what you saw last year. And I think he's very valuable as a guy that could come in and fill in. So if somebody goes down, whether it's any of those three, Wormley's the guy to come in. And I think they're okay if somebody goes down, but there's not, I mean, I like Bugs. I don't know if there's gotta be a reason Carlos Davis was in there towards the end more. Remember those two guys got in a fight on the sideline. Right. Thaddeus says Carlos is quick for his size. He really is. And last year, we were talking about the Carlos Davis pick, and I made a bet with Lance Williams that Big Dan McCullers was gone and Carlos Davis is going to have a spot. And a lot of people thought he was a practice squad guy, but he made this team. Yeah. So seventh round picks make it. And I'm doing a series right now that I don't know if you got a chance to check out on behindthesteelcurtain.com. I'm getting ready to get fifth round picks out, but I'm doing the top 10 of fourth round picks, third round picks, second round picks. I'm not doing first round picks. And this is since 1969. I'm not ranking those guys. I'm getting a lot of flack for ranking Larry Foote over Ike Taylor when I was doing fourth round picks. But the reason I'm using a lot of career AVs that they have in Pro Football Reference, so I'm letting that help. I still move it around a lot. I want to bring up 4TL Music Group here. Calvin Taylor, man, he's a big man. I love this guy. He's one to watch. He's definitely a guy that could be there too. So I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. And I'm going to say that they are market ready. Somebody late, and Andrew Wilbar is saying this too, and I love me the Mountaineers as well. Nittany Lions first, Panthers second, tied with the Mountaineers. Those are my teams. Darius Stills from West Virginia, if he falls to round six, he's got a similar profile to Twyman, says Andrew. The tape is fantastic. We talked about Andrew last week. He definitely knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I like Darius Stills as well. So I think that would be a good pick too. I think you bring one of those guys in. I know getting a Lualu back means that you don't. I think they were going to look in the fourth round for a defensive tackle. Right. And I think Twyman could have been one of those guys, but I don't think Twyman's dropping past the if he drops to the fifth round, he's not going any further. I want to bring this up before I lose it. I don't want to lose this super chat, man. Ryan O'Toole, he's our buddy, gives us $5. Thank you very much, Mr. O'Toole. Thoughts on how the league is handling the Deshaun Watson allegations versus how they handled the Big Ben allegations. Love the show. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Ryan. I haven't seen much about from the NFL about this yet, exactly what they're going to do. I think it's still very early. I'm not sure how they're going to handle it. But one thing I'm going to say is 2010 is a far cry from 2021.
Right.
In a lot of ways. So I really think that they might have handled the Ben Roethlisberger situation even tougher this time around.
Yeah.
Or maybe they would have realized that they didn't handle it tough enough. If you remember something about the Ben Roethlisberger situation, he missed 4 games. However, he was suspended for 6.
Right.
But there was a caveat on there. He was suspended for 6 games, and you could mark off 1 or 2 for good behavior.
Right.
And they've done that with other players. I think they did that with Martavis Bryant, and I don't think he got the benefit of the doubt on one of them. Or maybe it was Le'Veon Bell. I'm really not sure. But what I'm saying here is it's probably hard to compare those two situations. We haven't, the thing about the Ben Roethlisberger situation, the police were involved, but charges were dropped.
Right.
And charges were dropped because the father found out more information and thought that it was a situation where the charges needed to be dropped. It had nothing to do with what a lot of people think. And I don't want to rehash all of that.
Right.
But what I'm saying here, the Deshaun Watson thing, there's a lot of people coming out in this situation. I think they're up to 19 to 20 cases. Now, a Houston, I don't know whether he was a radio host or whether he was a writer for the Houston market, just lost his job for calling it a money grab. Look, if these allegations are out there, you have to look very seriously into this whole thing.
Right. Right.
And you can't really speculate on anything. And that's a really easy thing for any of us to speculate, but we don't know. And I think there's a lot of people out there that like the situation that I just brought up with Ben Roethlisberger and the young woman's father. There's a lot of people that are not going to press charges just to make money out of it. So I think that's something that you've got to be very careful before you allege.
Right.
And I don't know enough. The bottom line is we don't know enough about what actually is happening here. But I will tell you this, from what I'm understanding, and with all of this, the trade market for Deshaun Watson has died.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard to trade for him right now when you don't know all the facts.
No, yeah, so, you couldn't. Yeah, not right now. You couldn't even risk bringing that guy into your organization because, if this is true, then, this guy, we don't know what the facts are. We might never know. So, there's so many unknowns as far as how they're handling it. For all we know, he might be banned for life when it's all said and done. So, we have to let the process play out. As far as Ben, we knew he was suspended for 6 games. We don't know how they're going to handle Deshaun Watson yet. They might kick him out of the league for all we know.
The bottom line of the whole thing, and I'm going to be very blunt on this. The bottom line to the whole thing is it's a bad situation all around. And the reason it's a bad situation all around, if all of these allegations are false, it's a tragedy.
Right. Right.
If all of these allegations are true, it's an even bigger tragedy.
Yeah.
It is bad all the way around. And I hate that this is something that we have to talk about.
Right.
So I hope that there's a resolution soon, and it has nothing to do with football. It has everything to do with humanity. And yeah, that's all I can say.
Right. And if these are true, then it's going to follow these women around the rest of it's going to haunt them the rest of their lives. And if it isn't true, it's going to follow Deshaun Watson around the rest of his life. Whether, look at Ben, people are still, they think that he did these things. I have a lot of female friends who can't stand him, and he was never even charged. So either way, as you said, it's a tragedy for who, if it's true or not true, it's going to be a tragedy for somebody, and it's going to follow them around for the rest of their lives.
All right. The reason I'm smiling and I while you're saying that, I do apologize. I'm smiling because, you know, I do not multitask well, and I'm laughing at Monka S, and I'm laughing at Dallas Quinley as well. And here's the problem. When it comes to live chat now that we've added Facebook, if you're on Facebook, you can only see what Facebook says. When you're on watching on YouTube, you can only see what the people on YouTube are saying in the live chat. So I just want to let everybody know that. Monka S, Brian, give a shout out to Duck Hodges. This followed three more messages earlier that just said, give a shout out to Duck Hodges. and then Dallas asked us to block Monka. we're not gonna block Monka. Duck Hodges is a Los Angeles Ram. I hope he does well. I would love to see that guy be a superstar. I don't think it's ever gonna happen. I hope he does. I love Duck Hodges. And Monka, I have a Duck Hodges jersey hanging up over there. So right. I'll just let you know that. So I will give that shout out. But you're going to ask me every week for a shout out, and this is the last one.
Either if he does become a superstar, then he's going to probably look for you and make you his number one fan, because that's a lot of faith to having Duck Hodges right now.
So, that's really funny. So here we go. So, you know, we were talking about something very, you know, it was very, it's very trying. So let's get back to a little bit of fun now too. Let's get back from that heavy subject, but you know, that's something that we can't ignore. We've got to talk about those things. And, thank you for bringing that up, Ryan. So now we've got Sherry's quacking now.
Wow, forgot about that. I think we met at the height of the of Duck Mania, that Sunday night game against the Bills, me, you, and Dave, when everybody was walking around with the duck hats on. And
yeah,
that was the very height of the Duck Mania. That's when we all still believed that they could really do something special that year. And it really was a special year when you think about it, but it didn't end as quite as we hoped it would.
You know what? We're getting way off the subject, but I want to answer some questions here real quick. And just because I'm going to lose these if I don't. So I'm just going to answer these in rapid fire. Snowman asks, why is your draft on a Monday? It's because last year we were looking for, or 2 years ago, we were looking for content, and we did our very first draft where it was Dave Schofield, Tony, and I. We did it on Blog Talk Radio. The reception was horrible. It sounded like garbage. You could actually go back and listen to it. You can go into iTunes and find that from April of 2019. Don't waste your time. It was awful. But I'll take the download. I'll definitely take the download. So do that. Yeah, go check that show out. And it wasn't awful because
of me.
It wasn't awful because of the content. It was awful because of the sound. And what a lot of people don't realize is one of the reasons that we're on YouTube to have a better sound platform.
Yeah.
And we have a great, just a fantastic sound platform. So that's why we do it on Draft Monday. It has become a hangover tradition is what it's been. So the reason we do our draft is because nobody else wanted to do it. And so it's become our thing. So that's why we're doing it on a Monday. Joe Lewis says, RIP DMX, gone at the age of 50. An absolute legend in the music business. Just a shame. Yeah. Asiatic Noble asks about Ryan Switzer's son. Yes. So last week it came out right around this time last week where... or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but it had come out that surgery was great. He was out of the woods, and they were looking at a very good future as far as everything being taken care of. Then the next day, there was a picture with the Switzers and young Christian at the aquarium.
Oh, okay.
And enjoying the day out. So prayers have been answered there. Thank you for asking. That's definitely great news there. Josh Parker was at that game as well that we were at. Yeah, man, the ride home was awful. It snowed, which was really bad. Yeah, it took us forever to get home. But the reason it was awful is because of the fumble and the wildcat on the goal line, and Dave Schofield was mad the whole way home. I didn't blame him. I agreed with him, but that's we talked about that the entire ride home. Monco wants us to talk about Coastal Carolina sophomore quarterback Grayson McCall, future Steelers quarterback. I know nothing about him, but I will definitely look him up. Snowman's asking for any news on Tunch Elkin. Have not heard of anything with Tunch. I don't know if he is. They don't do the locker room. They don't do their show in usually in the off season. So I don't know. Gosh, prayers for one of my all-time favorites. Just you forget about how great he was on the field. He is an even greater man. Number 62, Tunch Elkin. So we will continue to pray with him as he pray for him as he's afflicted with ALS. Will Bad be kicking field goals this year? Says Dallas. No, that's Dave Schofield. He's the kicker.
Right. He's a resident kicker.
I'm a fullback that could catch the ball out of the backfield.
So there you go. Versatile.
Yeah. So there you go. You don't need to pay Derek Watt all that money. You could pay me a fraction of that. And you could just pay me $1 million a year and you'll have me for five. There so, you go. and I'm 49. So, but I could be your fullback. So let's go ahead and let's talk more about the Steelers market ready. Or are they fixer-uppers, and we're going to have to go a little quicker with this? We talked about the whole Avery Williamson thing, and I think this changes everything, Tony. Because now you have, on one side, you've got hopefully a healthy Devin Bush, and you've got Robert Spillane battling with possibly, it looks like it's going to happen, Avery Williamson, who are very good. Both of them are very good at stopping the run. On that other side, in Vince Williams' old role, now you've got one of them backing up. You definitely have Marcus Allen, maybe UG3. He's still around. What do you think?
If this is true, and I have no reason to believe that it isn't, based on the social media activity, then I think it changes everything, as you said. I mean, if Spillane wins the job, then you have a great backup in Williamson. And if Williamson wins the job, then I think Spillane showed a lot last year that he could at least be a competent backup. So I think you're okay with depth. And as you said, you have Marcus Allen, who's basically a linebacker now. You have the general, who hopefully can stay healthy this year. Maybe he can reach his potential this year. So yeah, I think you're fine there as far as it's market ready.
One thing I'm going to say about the whole thing is it basically says right now, this shows me that you can go ahead and take Zaven Collins off of the list for a first round pick.
Right.
Because, I mean, he would still be amazing. I would love him. But I would think that, you know, they're not going to take inside linebacker off the draft list. But now it's going to be, you're going to be looking more towards the third and fourth round. Guys like McGrone out of Michigan and Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina that could be had in the fourth round, maybe in the third round, but that's probably where you're looking for an inside linebacker now, and you're not looking for them at number one. And Dallas Quinley asks, should we draft Hayden's replacement? We'll talk about that a little bit more, but that now inside linebacker for me moves down the list when you need to address running back, you need to address cornerback, not quarter, corner, and you definitely need to draft the address and draft offensive line, namely a tackle and a center. So that's something that they need to look at a little bit more. So you kind of move inside linebacker down the list now. But yes, they are market ready. That helps that defense a lot. That is not a big, sexy signing, but that is just a smart signing, Tony. And I really think the Steelers, we always talk about them being a piece of the puzzle team. That's a very important piece of the puzzle. That's you know what that is? That's a piece of, you have a nice mountain lake scene in the puzzle. And that's either a tree piece, or it's a clear blue sky piece, or it's
right. It's
a water piece. It's not one that's going to stick out just saying, oh, we know where this one goes.
Right.
This is one that you got to have it to complete the puzzle, and it's not good without it, but it's one of those pieces that you're not grabbing first, but if you don't have that piece,
oh yeah,
you have no puzzle.
Right. We've talked about how depth is going to be an issue at so many different positions. Well, there's one that if he's signed here, then that takes care of a concern about at least depth at the very least as an inside linebacker.
So I see something here, and Dallas says, yes, the Steelers are a puzzling team. Sean Manahan asks, can we just draft the water boy, Bobby Boucher? Now, if you go back, I'm probably not going to do it this year because I don't want to make the joke old, but last year when I did my final mock draft, I did an alternate mock draft last year, and I picked all movie characters at different positions. So I don't think I drafted Bobby Boucher. I think the Charles Jefferson was my big defensive draft pick from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, played by the incomparable Forrest Whitaker. But I think my number one pick last year was Rod Tidwell from Arizona State and Jerry Maguire. So if you want to go look on BTSC from right before the draft last year, I have that up there. It's actually really funny. I know you're a huge Hawaii 5-0 guy, Tony.
I am.
I drafted Scott Kahn, who played Tweeter at wide receiver, number 82. Jeff Hartman's favorite movie, by the way. He loves Varsity Blues, one of his favorite sports movies. So I drafted him as well. And you'll have to, I know Booby Miles, I drafted him out of Friday Night Lights. I could probably do a whole different one this year. Maybe I will. So there you go. Asiatic Noble says, what about Thaddeus Moss? Thaddeus Moss is now a Cincinnati Bengal. The Randy Moss's son, I guess the Washington football team, let him go, and they picked him up. So let's move on. Outside linebackers.
That one's a bit trickier because obviously TJ Watt, you're set there, of course. And there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to Alex Highsmith. But then the depth, you know, that's going to be an issue. So I think it might be a fixer-upper just because of depth. I think it's an area you might have to address, maybe not in the first three rounds, but certainly the fourth round at least. I think maybe you have to think about bringing somebody in.
You know what, Tony? You do. I don't care if it's a free agent. The depth just isn't there, and we saw what depth does. You know, it's good that you're bringing Cassius Marsh back, but you still don't
know
have many pieces to fill in there. They've got to do. I mean, you've got to add, and it's the starters are market ready, but the unit, and we're talking about units. And it's not there. It's not market ready yet because that's where they lack. We're going to go to safety next. And it looks like they are picking up because of a celebration on social media last week. It seems that they are picking up Terrell Edmonds, fifth-year option. You've got some depth behind there. I mean, it's not great, but it's there. Minka, of course, you know they're picking up his option, fifth-year option. I think he's going to be a Steeler for a long, long time. So I'm going to say that they're market-ready going into this year. There's now Matty Peverell loves James Wiggins out of Cincinnati. If you could get him in the fourth round, it looks like they possibly can. If you get a safety in the draft, which, I mean, you could look towards the future, this guy could be fantastic. This draft's going to be so neat this year because you've got a lot of question marks because of COVID with people taking a year off. Right. He didn't play last year. And a lot of people are dropping. So that's why this is such a deep draft. Because really, what's funny about the whole thing is why it is such a deeper draft. When you had all these players taking time off, some of them dropped and some of them didn't. The kid from Penn State, Micah Parsons, did not drop,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he took the whole year off.
Right.
But because you have all these players taking time off, there's more starters. So now not only do you have the people that were starting that weren't going to get a chance to start, that you got to find out that they're really good players. And now they can be drafted. Mm-hmm. You have the players coming back. So it's a bigger pool right now. You have so many. So that's why it's such a deep draft. So that's what makes everything really interesting here. But I agree with you. I think safety, they're ready to go as far as being market ready. Is that what you said?
I didn't answer that one, but I agree with you.
Okay.
We were talking about a linebacker before, but I think they're ready to go. I mean, the depth might be a concern because Miles Killebrew, he was mainly a special teams guy in Detroit. He really hasn't. He had zero defensive snaps two of the last 3 years, so that might be a concern. And Sean Davis left, signed with the Colts. So you don't have any proven depth, but Marcus Allen, you know, is a safety as well as a linebacker. So, I mean, you know, they might be able to get creative there. And Cam Sutton can play a little safety when he has to. So,
and you got Brooks, like Bert
said. That's right, Antoine Brooks. That's right. I forgot all about him. The sixth round pick from Maryland last year. Yeah. So, you know, there is some depth there.
So now let's go ahead and look at the final piece of the puzzle. And gosh, we're saying that a lot are market ready. We said that the outside linebackers are not. What about the corner position?
Ooh, I'm going to say it's a fixer upper because, Justin Lane and James Pierre are just so unknown at this point. And yeah, Sutton can move to the outside, you know, when you're in a base defense, but what happens when he has to move inside the slot, are those two guys ready to, I know a lot of people love Pierre, but again, they're so unproven. So it wouldn't shock me if they used a premium pick on a cornerback.
I think they have to. I think that is a lot. No, a lot of people are going to say, we were joking about this beforehand. I'm going to go crazy if they draft a cornerback. I'm gonna go crazy if they draft an offensive lineman or a running back in the first line. Not an offensive lineman, right. An inside linebacker or a running back in the first round. There's a lot of people that are going to get really upset about that, but you got to trust what they do. Now, the first thing that everybody says, and I'm not even looking at the live chat, but I know it's coming. The Steelers do not draft cornerbacks well. Dallas just said, don't trust it. Here's the thing, and sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you.
Oh, no, it's okay.
You know why they can't get guys like Jalen Ramsey?
Say it, man. Say it.
They're picking in the 20s every single time.
Exactly.
Artie Burns was a mistake.
Right.
They went away from their entire philosophy when they got Artie Burns. They panicked, and they don't normally do that, but they panicked. Artie Burns was the sixth guy on the board. Where they didn't do due diligence is look further.
Right.
Because 11 picks later, Xavien Howard goes. Xavien Howard had, 10, 11 picks last year for the Miami Dolphins? He goes in the second round. He was considered the third best defensive player last year as far as the defensive player of the year voting went. It went Aaron Donald, TJ Watt, and then Xavier Howard. They made a mistake. They picked the sixth best, and they were drafting for position. When right. William Jackson III went, that was the guy they were going to get. And I don't even think that William Jackson is a lot better. He was stable. He was good. He's not blockbuster. Now he's in Washington.
Right.
It would have been a lot better, but you're not going to get in the first round. You're not going to get a great corner picking in the 20s. You could, but it's very hard to do. Caleb Farley, if he drops, he's going to drop because of some injury concerns. He's really good, but there are some guys out there that they can get. Now, when we say you can't draft the corner, you're going to bring up other guys that stunk. But everybody makes fun of me for this, and I continue to say this. We don't know if Senquez Golson was a good cornerback or not.
Right.
He had 10 interceptions his senior year at Mississippi.
Right.
His last season in Mississippi. He was supposed to be, he would shut down guys like Sammy Coates, who was one of the big receivers at Auburn that year in the SEC. He shut down a lot of receivers. He never made the field because he was hurt. He never played in a preseason game.
He barely practiced in the training camp.
Was he a bust? He never had a chance to be a bust.
Right.
The pick ended up being a bad pick because you never got him on the field.
Right.
Just like we were talking about this yesterday on Tales from 2 a.m. Gabe Rivera, number one pick in 1983, still should have been Dan Marino. I get that. But Gabe Rivera, they thought he was the next Joe Green. He had 3.5 sacks in 6 games before he drove into a wall. He was driving drunk, became a quadriplegic, and then died just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But senior sack, Gabe Rivera, was fantastic and could have been a Hall of Famer.
Right.
We just never found out. So when you call that pick a bust, you can't predict the future. Maybe with injuries like a Senquez Golson, you could possibly predict the future, but you can't. It's so hard to know because he passed through everything. He was okay. So we never know if he was a bust. He ended up being the wrong pick.
Right.
And not a good pick, but he could have been very good if he made the field. So he's not a guy like Artie Burns that just did not perform on the field.
Right. It's
go ahead.
No, it's funny. It's people were ready to fight me online for criticizing Golson back then because I thought is he too small? Why did he draft him in the second round? He could have been third or fourth. And yet, Terrell Edmonds, people are still upset about that pick, and he started 43 games. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll never know about Golson. He could have been the real deal. He could have been a slot corner for the next 5-10 years if he would have stayed healthy. But to their credit, they found and developed Mike Hilton, and he, you know, so
who played with Senquez Golson? Right.
Ole Miss. Yeah.
Now here's the other thing too. My buddy, one of my best friends in the world. He is, you know, me, I'm a glasses 3/4 full guy. And he's a glass almost empty guy. And when it comes to the Steelers, but I love the guy. And so we got in this argument on text, on a 3-way text just 2 weeks ago. And he's like, name anybody that's got second contracts with the Steelers at corner. You can't. I'm like, well, you can. You can say Keenan Lewis, he got a second contract, not with the Steelers, but he got a second contract, a very good contract with the Saints.
Right.
William Gay played very well. William Gay shares the record with Rod Woodson for pick sixes.
Right.
On the team. There have been busts. Cortez Allen got a second contract, then fell apart.
Right.
But he was good enough to get a second contract.
Right.
I mentioned William Gay. Cam Sutton just got a second contract. One of the reasons we don't know a lot about Cam Sutton right now is because you had Steven Nelson and Joe Haden. Joe Hayden's not going to be around forever. Steven Nelson's gone. He was going to be, I think they read the writing on the wall with Steven Nelson when he came out and said, I didn't get the contract. I mean, they didn't like me as much as I overplayed my contract is what he said. I outplayed
it. Right.
So he was asking for big money next year. They decided that, you know, okay, he's not sticking around. He's not going to, he's going to want the big deal that we might not be able to give him. They made a business decision. I don't blame the Steelers. I don't blame Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson thinks he's worth it. He needs to speak up.
Right.
The Steelers say, hey, we just can't do that. So we'll try to trade you. If not, they go ahead and put him out there. What it's team is business. Steven Nelson on though right now?
Right. Yeah. Well, with salary cap, everybody's hurting for room. So it's a bad year to I guess be a free agent, but you know, look at how they had to build their secondary. As you said, those guys, if you're drafting in the 20s all the time, you're not going to be able to find guys. Like Joe Haden was a former top 10 pick. They had to sign him after he was cut by the Browns, and they went out and signed Minka, who was basically a top five talent. You know, they went up and traded for Troy Polamalu to get him. Those really blue chip secondary defensive backs, they don't last into the 20s. They get picked about the first half of the first round. So, you know,
I didn't want to lose Steven Nelson. I definitely didn't. But I got to tell you, they're not as bad as you think they are at drafting some of these guys. So can they? I mean, the track record, no. The track record is not amazing, but it's not as bad as we think either.
Right.
But if you look at the right guy and you bring the right guy in, you can draft. I mean, you're not going to stop drafting corners.
Right.
You've got a couple guys out there in the second round that you can look at. There's a guy in the fourth round, Rodarius Williams from Oklahoma State. You've got Asante Samuel Jr. You've got, what if Caleb Farley falls?
Right.
There's some players out there. There's a kid named Taylor that I like. There's some guys out there. People draft corners, but you got to realize they're looking other places too. They're looking at other positions and they look at some things and they're like, all right, we could draft the corner in the fourth round. And, you know, it's like quarterback and corner. You need to draft in the first round, draft it high in the first round to be good. You really don't want a quarterback at number 24. You really don't like a corner at number 4. You have to, I think, to get a great corner or a great quarterback, you need to be drafting in the top 10. The right. problem is to draft in the top 10, you got to suck.
Right.
And to draft in the top 10, to trade in the top 10, what you've got to do is you've got to trade a player. You're not good if you're having to trade a player that you're getting rid of to go ahead and get in the top 10. So it's very rare that the Steelers are going to trade a guy to get into the top 10. So they're going to have to do what they did with Devin Bush and trade a number one pick a number one pick. They're going to have to do some. Well, actually, they did not do that with Devin Bush. They traded a number two and a three, but they're going to have to trade something. It's really funny. You and I talked on the retro show a week ago. The Buffalo Bills had the number one pick in the 1979 draft. Why did they have the number one pick? They traded a player that was 11 years in the league, O.J. Simpson, to the 49ers for the number one overall pick the next year.
Yeah, right.
And that would never happen today.
Absolutely not.
My gosh, Bettis went for a 2 and a 4.
Right. It was a different world back then. Different. The running backs were much more valuable than they are. But if he wasn't O.J. Simpson, there was no way that, you know, it was just you would never do that today.
But before I got into that entire rant, the bottom line to everything is they've got to address the cornerback position very soon. They're going to have to address it in the top four picks in the draft. And it's still dangerous.
Right.
Because it's still dangerous to go with a three or a four. They're out there, but you got to get the right guy. You got to do your due diligence. You got to get lucky. Right. I still think a corner, the best corners, not saying you can't, but the best corners you're going to find are in that top 10. Right. But it's not impossible. I'm just saying. But they are not market ready there. In fact, can Hayden go 16 games?
Yeah, he has his problems with injuries every year. So he misses a couple games every season. Yeah.
Brian Brown is a big Virginia Tech fan, and he's like, Caleb Farley, he's okay. If the Steelers are going to draft a Hokie, it should be offensive tackle. Brian Brown, let me tell you something. You are absolutely correct. If Christian Darrisaw drops,
woo.
Yeah, you grab him. That's it. You grab
that's David DeCastro right there.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. We ran a little long. Thank you. The defense is in pretty good shape. Need to make some tweaks, but it's in pretty good shape. So I like where they're going. They do it right on draft day. If you haven't had a chance, listen to Dave Schofield's Stat Geek last week on how well the Steelers do draft overall since 2000. It's a very interesting listen. So check that out. We have about, I think I got about four or five. We got about two, and then I got about four or five emails during the show. So I think we need about, let's say, six or seven more. So please go ahead at BTSCBAD on Twitter or stmyron@gmail.com. Please get a hold of me. Get your reservations. The quicker we get the reservations, the quicker we are able to go ahead and do the draft selection. We could do that. And my goal is, hopefully, we can go ahead. I said we're going to do them before our draft next week. That's a little too much. So what we'll try to do, we'll try to do it next Sunday morning. We're going to have them all in. Hopefully, we're going to have our draft lottery on the Steelers Tales from 2 a.m. Tony, you're welcome to join us if you want. I know I just threw this out at you.
All right.
Donald Nolan, yeah, you are on the list. I believe I mentioned your name earlier, and yes, you are. So I did get it, and I got another one about 5 minutes ago. So we are filling things up. Looks like I got five or six during this whole thing. I know you wrote two down, so we're almost there. So, but if you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, try to get in. We are going to have reserve spots too. We are not going to leave you hanging, but in 2 weeks, we're doing this show. It's so much fun. I can't wait to do it with all of you. Tony, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was a fun, spirited show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did one of my bad rants, and I haven't done one of those in a long time. And I'm not saying I'm right. It's just comes from a place of passion. So for Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. Just when you think you've got all of the answers,
we keep changing the questions.
Good night, my friends.